I don't want people to just be able to afford the life they have. I want them to be able to afford the life they want, not just today, not just this week, not just this month, not just this year, but I want them to be able to build their business as an asset that will fuel their financial future for the rest of their life.
Hey, it's your host, Abigail Pumphrey, and I'm on a personal mission to help more small business owners become financially free. I like to nerd out on all things business, marketing, and most definitely the numbers. I'm talking all the lessons learned as I turned a layoff into a seven-figure online business. I like to share it all, and no conversation is off the table. We talk actionable strategies, biz challenges, and all the things life throws your way. Grief, anxiety, loss, and resilience are all topics you'll find here. So grab a cup of coffee and settle in because you're listening to the Strategy Hour podcast, brought to you by Boss Project. Want to learn exactly step-by-step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. How much are your ideas worth to you? Get unlimited computer backup for you or your business with CrashPlan Professional. CrashPlan takes data preservation seriously. They understand that data is not just bits and bytes. It's your valuable IP, innovations, and ideas. Visit CrashPlan.com/BossProject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has options for individuals and businesses who want reliable, secure backup services. CrashPlan works efficiently in the background while you work encrypting and sending all your new or changed files up to their secure cloud every 15 minutes. Get 24/7 365 protection. CrashPlan makes it simple to restore some or all of your data. And with unlimited version retention, CrashPlan can be your ultimate rewind button. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/BossProject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/BossProject for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
So I've outlined this type of episode at least three or four times since the beginning of the year, and every single time have been too scared to press record. And then this trend blew up on first TikTok and now Instagram. And it's essentially saying social media is fake. So here's some like hard truths I'm struggling with, or here's things I'm ashamed of, or here's huge mistakes I've made. And it's an attempt to like let people in on the real ish that's going on in their lives and in their businesses. And I both deeply respect it and have struggled with some of the things that people have shared because I've wondered, is that even necessary? Do you need to share that? Not because I'm judging them for sharing it, but is there a line in which we are trying to give so much away that we're only hurting ourselves? And I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know if that's even really possible. Perhaps, maybe, but today I did want to let you in on some things that I still struggle with, even after 9 years in business, even after building to a multi-seven-figure education company. These are things that deeply bother me and are things that I talk to my therapist about and things that hold me back from doing the things I want to accomplish in this business. And I wanted to loop you in on that. But before I do, I wanted to give you a couple notes. If you're new here, thank you so much for hanging out with us on the show. I would love if you subscribe to the show. If you haven't done that already, hit that subscribe button and come back. We have new episodes that drop twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And if you haven't yet, go over to Instagram and follow me. You can find my profile by going to Boss Project, and my personal page at Abigail Says is linked there. And I'm trying something new in the description of this episode, which I don't know if it's available on every platform, but I'm pretty confident it's available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. But in the description of the show, I will have quick links to follow me on social, as well as a link to my membership, the co-op, which if you're craving a community that is designed to support you as a whole person, meaning we're not just going to talk about business and strategies for growth and sales and marketing, but also address that you're a whole human that has other stuff going on and life will inevitably happen. And we want to be there to support you even when things aren't the easiest. I am so proud of that community and love to see how people show up there. So I would love for you to be a part of that. You can find out more by tapping that link below, or you can go to creativetemplateshop.com/membership and find out more about what's in store there. This first one's a big one. It really continues to kick me down and be something that I deeply, deeply struggle with. I am terrified of growth, which I know for some of you are like, but you've already built a large business. You've already built a staff and a team, and you've already done and accomplished all of these things. Yes, and I know it could be so much bigger and do so many more things. And I constantly am slowing myself down from what's possible, from what I want, from where I think it could go. Not because I'm nervous about the reach. I think that's a really interesting dichotomy that I'm trying to work through. I'm not worried about reaching more people. In fact, I want to reach more people. I want to impact more small businesses. I want to see more people successful. But by proxy, you reaching more people means that you are going to get more unwanted criticism. And I wouldn't say I'm okay with it, but I can deal for a bit with the thought that people may question what I teach or push back on a strategy that actually applies to the business, that actually applies to the way in which I am trying to reach people. But it's all the other stuff that really holds me down and literally has me crying in the shower. It's comments about my body or how I do my makeup or my personal life or my personal choices. And people say and continue to show that they want to see your whole life online. But the more you let people in, the more ammo they have to throw back at you. I will never forget one of the first ads I ever ran on Facebook. This was back in my red lip era. I loved a red lip, mostly because it reminded me of my grandmother. She would never leave the house without her red lipstick on. And there was something about wearing red lipstick that made me feel powerful, that made me feel like I could make an impact. And then someone called me a clown. And from that day forward, I stopped being the one that handles comments on advertising because I was so scared about what people would say about me. Not about the business, not about the things that actually matter, but about things that don't matter at all, because that stuff hurts so bad. And if you were to look at pictures from like that point on, I stopped wearing red lipstick. And like that makes me so deeply sad. That one person's comment would sit with me. Like, we're talking like 5-7 years later. Like, I don't know who the person was. And frankly, it doesn't even matter. Literally just today, someone commented. I mentioned what I was drinking, like totally candidly. And someone was like, yeah, I've noticed people that drink that tend to be more overweight. What? Why? What about that was inviting you to comment about my body? And then I cried in the shower. It's just so frustrating. And when you live your life online, you give up so much of this like protection that it's not even that it's protection, but like out in the world, if you were just walking down the street, not that you're immune to commentary that you don't want, but a lot less people would say it to your face if they saw you in real life. And I continue to keep myself smaller because of how deeply those wounds go. And it's easy to stay smaller. It's so much easier. You post less, you do less, you show up less. But my mission is too important not to keep pushing through the uncomfortable bits. But I do have to protect my mental health and my sanity and my livelihood. And I don't always know the way to manage both. This next one, I'm sure so many people have struggled with. And likely it's a lot of that self-talk and self-conversation, like you're just battling it on your own, but it doesn't change how I feel, even if it's true or not. Like it doesn't honestly matter if it's true or not. How you feel is reality for yourself. So not feeling accepted by any circle in this industry has really bothered me. Relationships run so deep. And the bigger you get, the less people there are, i.e., the more these people know each other. And I have been surprised by how little I've been accepted or invited. Like, not at all invited, frankly. And aside from like a few close personal one-on-one connections, there's a whole heck of a lot of people who know who I am, but very few have made me feel welcome. Now, I would say there's also a secondary group there's plenty of people that know me and like there's a very surface kind relationship there. It's not a bad one, but it's not a close one. And I am someone who craves close connections. In my entire life, I've always been the kind of person that people would say, you're nice. Like, and I would be accepted in all of these different groups. I remember in high school feeling like I was what I would call like the floater. Like all of these groups of people knew who I was. The popular kids, the people who were in sports, the people who were kind of the nerdy kids, like all of them. The theater kid, they all knew who I was, but I never was invited to any of their parties or their birthdays or their celebrations. I was the person they waved to in the hallway and said hello. And that has continued to be true my entire life. I've always just had a handful of super close friends. But I've never felt like I was a part of a bigger circle of people that I could trust and that would willingly share about what was going on in their lives or their businesses. And again, regardless if that's true or not, because I see the other side of the coin, that if I feel that way, maybe it's because I haven't invited people into my life. Like, am I the one that's not letting people in? And I don't know the answer. I could definitely be reading into it, but regardless, it can feel so isolating. Trying to run a business when relationships are such a critical part of your growth, feeling isolated is not a fun place to start from. Number three, while I am an advocate for talking about money, I continue to deeply fight against what's the cultural norm, and it constantly makes me question my own motives. Now, the reason I talk about it, the reason I share exact dollar amounts and exact things I've accomplished, is never to make someone feel like they're not far enough along, or they haven't done, or they haven't accomplished something. But I was never shown opportunity. Like, growing up, while I was pushed to and told you can do or be anything, I didn't have any examples. All the women in my life either worked like very hard jobs, like my grandmother worked in a car factory and my aunt worked in a union office, hard jobs around a ton of men, or the women stayed home and took care of kids, but generally not because they wanted to. But most of those people were sick in my life. My mother was on disability. So the idea of talking about money was like simply not a thing. There was no financial education. Like, the closest thing to financial education I ever got as a child was in high school for 1 week. We pretended to be married to the opposite sex. They partnered us off, and we had to create this like fake arbitrary budget for how we'd spend our money. That was the entirety of my financial education. Luckily, my parents did teach me to save. They helped me start a checking account when I was very young, but I didn't have a lot to put in it. I wasn't like getting wads of cash for my birthday from aunts and uncles. Like, frankly, most of them didn't really give me gifts. I mean, maybe as a kid they would give me a toy, but definitely as I got to middle and high school, I wasn't really getting much of anything. Maybe that's just my story in my own head. But regardless, money was not part of the conversation. And so building this business with the entire goal of wanting to see more people financially free, meaning I don't want people to just be able to afford the life they have. I want them to be able to afford the life they want, not just today, not just this week, not just this month, not just this year, but I want them to be able to build their business as an asset that will fuel their financial future for the rest of their life. Meaning, you make good money, you invest it well, and you have an actual retirement fund to live on. That's what I want for people. When you want that for people, you have to talk about money. It's a requirement in my eyes. And yet, the moment you use how much money you've made in a social media post, you would be baffled the commentary I get. I remember this one day, someone talked about how I was so manipulative, that these people that wanted to make money and they were so desperate that they would buy my thing. When did I ever say they should do that? Never. I want people to invest where it makes sense. If they can afford something from me, consume my free content. There is no one forcing anyone's hand in this business. I stopped doing sales calls and I reduce my prices by somewhere between 10 and 100x, depending on what you're talking about, to make my offers more accessible to more people. That absolutely made my business smaller. And I'm okay with that. But I did it because I want to fulfill on my mission. But then the moment I try to do that and get in front of more people and use an awareness strategy that includes talking about money, then people say I have ill intentions. It doesn't make any sense. And it's so frustrating because enough of that being the cultural norm, it makes you question your own rationale for why you utilize it. But specifically, when we're talking about the notion of women not talking about money, because if I were a male, doing the same things that I'm doing, I guarantee I would not get the same pushback from people. But I did this post yesterday. We're in the midst of Women's History Month. And so I thought it was important to talk about why women are taught not to talk about money. And the thing is, I really struggled. I was like, was there ever a point that I was told not to say it? And I couldn't think of like a defining moment for me that was like, don't talk about your wages, don't talk about your salary, don't post about money. Like, I don't remember anyone saying that. But it always has felt ingrained in the culture I was in. And so I was doing some research because I care about women's access to financial opportunity. And I wanted to know more about the history. And like most of these things I had known at some point in time, but seeing them all together again was like, woof, like this is why. Okay, so what are some of those facts? It wasn't until 1900 that all states would let women keep their wages or have property in their own name. Women could work before the 1900s, but those wages weren't theirs. Crazy. Okay. It took another 60 years, so 1960, before women could legally have a bank account. Okay. All right. 1963. This was the first attempt to fix the gender wage gap. And while it was a massive milestone for women's rights in this country, it was far from fixing the problem. It took until 1974, which is in my mom's lifetime, that women could take out a loan without a male cosigner. God forbid you were in business. It wasn't until 1988 that women could take out a business loan without a male relative as a cosigner. And the craziest part to me is if she had a male son that was qualified and had the right credit, he could sign off on her loan. But she couldn't sign off herself. In 1988, like, let that sink in. And so I feel like there's this obvious taboo nature around money and around talking about it. And I'm deeply passionate about it. But I think the taboo nature was a way to oppress women's rights in this country. And I think when we start to question, should we talk about money or not, when we're talking about ourselves, or we go to judge someone else who chooses to disclose or discuss what they're making, consider why we feel that way. And even knowing all of those things and feeling strongly that it's important, because culture so deeply influences us every day, I still wonder when I should press post or not, or when I should say the thing or not. And that's so frustrating. As someone who wants to see women financially independent, to feel like I can't talk about it, wild. I want to look and feel my best in my own skin. With Oak Essentials, my skin stays hydrated and glowy, no makeup required. Get a simplified skincare routine that boosts collagen production and leaves you with beautiful, healthy skin. Treat yourself at oakessentials.com and get 15% off your first order with code BOSSPROJECT15 at checkout. The moisture-rich balm felt like instant relief for my dry skin. It felt like a facial at a high-end spa. I also snagged the Awaken body wash. It contains lavender oil. Lavender oil soothes skin with calming properties. Most soap leaves my skin feeling dry, but with Awaken body wash, it's hydrated and smooth. If you're already obsessed with the best-selling moisture-rich balm, the moisture-rich body balm is the same intense moisture you know and love, formulated for a full body glow.
Treat yourself at oakessentials.com. Get 15% off your first order with code BOSSPROJECT15 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at oakessentials.com. Promo code BOSSPROJECT15. From luxurious skincare to meaningful self-care, you deserve it. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire. We've had to weed through hundreds of applications in the past. We could have saved so much time if we'd used Indeed. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So this next one I think is interesting because anyone who's close to me, like in my real life, who sees me on a regular basis, there is a large majority of people, if they didn't know me in work, they would say I was a quiet person. And then there is this like super tight-knit group of people. They're not all necessarily connected to each other, so I wouldn't call them like a circle, but like my mom and my spouse and my sister and a couple of close friends, if you were to ask them if I'm a quiet person, they would laugh at you. And obviously, if you're in my sphere online, you're like, Abby quiet? No, like she always has something to say. And you're right. I do have always something to say. But I don't like talking to people I don't feel like I know. Does that make sense? Meaning, it's not that I'm shy. I just am not super comfortable talking in front of strangers, which is weird when you are trying to grow awareness about your business. And the only reason I've been able to like manage thus far is because most of the things I do, I get to do it without seeing all the people. Like recording this podcast, I am literally sitting in a closet. I mean, it's technically my clawfice where I record all my podcasts, but it's a little tiny room in my house. No one's around. No one can see me. No one can judge me. No one's giving me feedback on the words that I'm saying. I'm alone. And so, of course, you can have a soapbox when you're alone. Of course, you can say how you feel when you're alone. And I just pretend that it doesn't go anywhere from here. I just pretend that no one else hears it. I definitely pray that y'all hear it because I need you to hear it. But I'm also like, I can't process that because it makes me incredibly uncomfortable. And I think a lot of other people struggle with this too. But if our goal is growth, if your goal is growth, you have to spend more time talking to people that you don't know. Designing your actual content for strangers first. And it's not to say that you can't do the nurturing too. Obviously, you need to nurture those close and existing relationships. But if growth is the focus, you have to spend more of your time marketing, talking, communicating, posting for complete strangers, which means you obviously have to include more things. Like you have to include more background, where you came from, how you got here, your why, what's your motivation, ways to earn their trust, ways to showcase your credibility. And sometimes that can come across as performative, and that sucks. And it could be you reading into it yourself, but it's not necessarily the most fun thing to always talk to strangers. And it's definitely not something that's like deep rooted in me. I spent a lot of time being quiet in rooms until the time was right. And then I would raise my hand more often and I would participate. And I was never afraid of participating, but not on the first day. And definitely not in front of all of the people that I don't know. This is a big one. We're on, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, number 5. We're on number 5, but this is so big, I don't know what to do about it. Like, I have absolutely no control over it. None. And it feels like something that's hanging over my head at all times. I will see posts by other people saying, I'm not going to listen to XYZ business coach anymore because they don't have kids. And it makes me so deeply sad. I worry I won't feel relatable when so many people in my audience have children. This isn't a choice for me. I can't biologically have children. I've never, not a single time, no oops, no nothing. I have never been pregnant. And I also downplay even considering it a loss because I didn't have a miscarriage. I simply have never been able to conceive. And so while I have so many incredible, brave people in my sphere that also have struggled with infertility, and you guys blow me up in the DMs and are so kind, and you're all at different points on your journey, I still know that as someone who grew up in the Midwest, at least for me, most of the people around me have children and will. And that's not changing for the rest of my life. And feeling like I can't be there for someone or understand when I have no control, it just hurts, you know? And while I will never know exactly what it's like, because it's not my lived experience, I definitely have had plenty of experiences that have given me glimpses. I spent the first 9 months of my nephew's life caring for him one day a week while my sister worked, feeding him bottles, putting him down, dealing with fussiness. Like, he hadn't even learned to walk yet. And obviously, a lot of people would say those are the easy months. I don't disagree. Him as a toddler, oh, wild. He's now almost 5 years old. And I'm so grateful for all the intimate and close time that I got to spend with him during such like a formative time of his life. And it definitely changed me as a person being a part of that. And I definitely understand. You think you know what love is, and then it's just so insane what you would do for these little babies. Like, I get it. He is not mine. And I would do anything for him. I also spent many years as a full-time caregiver for my spouse's grandmother. She lived with us full-time until she passed last summer. And while she was not a child, she had Alzheimer's. And for those of you who know about that degenerative disease, it's a lot like aging in reverse. They lose a lot of their gross motor skills, their communication skills, and you do a lot of things that are similar, except you know, instead of getting to look forward to them growing up, you know you're coming closer and closer to the end. And so I so deeply want to feel like I am a part of this mom community, and I don't think I ever will be. You know, sometimes I sit here and I question, like, why do I give you guys so much. Like, why do I let you in on to some of the deepest, darkest, scariest parts of my life? And dang, I don't always know the answer. I've always sat with and believed since the beginning that if it helps one person, that it's worth it. I did an email a couple of weeks ago about mental health and running a business, and I almost told the team to just not send it. But I got more responses to that email than I've gotten to any email in months. And I was like, you know, I think more people need to hear it. So that's what today is, even though I will probably have to go to therapy over this freaking episode. Ugh. Okay. Well, this last one is not as like deep. I mean, it is, but it isn't. But I saved it for last because it is a hard truth. And I thought maybe it'd help me not like cry for the end of the episode. But okay, here we are. The last one for today. I am on a mission to solve a huge problem. Like a huge problem. I have decided this isn't new. Like the mission for this business has been the same, maybe with some copy editing, but the same mission the entire time. I want to see more people financially free. We talked about this. I want to see people financially independent. I want people to be able to afford their life and fuel their future. I want all of those things. The problem is that is such a huge problem. And while when you sell things, you sell someone a solution, I can't solve that problem with one product or one service or one offer. In reality, if I'm doing my job right, I have to help you solve a ton of problems, a ton of little problems, and hope that you stick around long enough that I can get you to the point where you're not just financially stable, but financially thriving. And you can then take that excess money and work with a financial advisor and invest it. And I purposefully do not give investment advice because that's not my training. And the reason you don't hear financial advisors giving investment advice online, all the people, all the financial gurus out there, every single one of them, they may have been licensed at some point, but they all gave it up to have a platform. Or they never had one at all, which that's honestly scarier to me, that they do not have the training or the education. And not that you can't share financial advice from your own lived experience and share of that, but that's not always going to be what's best for that individual, which is why I focus on the business side. I focus on helping you build something that I feel deeply educated about, deeply knowledgeable about. And when you get to a certain point, I'm going to be like, and now you need to go out and you need to find this person. And I'm not saying you should go find a guru. You should find someone who's Series 7 licensed, who is like a true financial planner, not just someone who wants you to invest in specific products. You should technically, if it were my choice, I would suggest that you work with someone that is not tied to a specific company, but is independent and can access on a wholesale basis a variety of companies' products. Otherwise, you're really just talking to a salesperson. I worked in the financial field before I came into this business in a marketing capacity. I was not a financial advisor, but I've been exposed. I've been in this world. But to my point, this is such a huge problem, but it's not sellable. I can't sell you one thing. And if I tried to sell you one thing, you wouldn't believe me anyway. If I said, this is what you need, this is all you need, you wouldn't believe me, at least not easily believe me. Maybe I could convince, and I don't even want to convince anybody. I'm not here to oversell anything. Like, not my job, not my place. I don't love that. I think people should see on their own volition that something is going to improve their life and they make a decision independently. And I didn't necessarily feel like I could do that when I previously was selling a group program because it required that I really talk with someone like why they weren't making an investment in themselves or their business. And it just didn't sit right with me. Like, even if I knew it was what was best in my heart and felt good about it, I still didn't love putting people in a position where they had to make a decision like that. Anyway, all of that to say, I'm trying to solve a huge problem with my mission. I can't sell you one product, which means to both stay in business and have a fighting chance of actually tackling this much larger issue that I want to solve, I often have to sell and solve problems that sometimes feel really frivolous, but they're important. And it's not always that the individual thing is important, but what they mean or what they do is. So, like, for example, I was incredibly resistant. Even though marketing has been my world for, oh gosh, 15 plus years, I didn't want to sell a course about social media for the same reason that, like, you want to talk about topics that, like, quote unquote, matter more. Like, what is social media really? I don't know. But twofold. One, people have their own preconceived notions of what's required of them to move their business forward. And growing on social in a way that's actually profitable, in a way that actually helps them monetize that growth, it's something people want. And so selling something that people want is part of being in business. And then twofold, it does actually solve, like, a big real problem. Growing on social media and monetizing that growth is an awareness strategy. And if my entire goal is to get you more financially independent, you need more people to know you exist. You need more people to know that you're in business. You need more people to know what problems you solve. They need to know what problems you solve so they can pay you to work with you. But where I struggle is sometimes that feels frivolous. And so I'm sitting here and I'm like, ugh, like, do I really want to sell a course about Instagram? And there's a part of me that's like, that feels frivolous and it's loud and obnoxious. And there's this other part of me that's like, it is so necessary. It will help people. It may be the first step of many steps that someone needs to take to get to where they want to go, to get people across the finish line, to get people to the mission line, to the point that I fulfilled on my mission. But that's only possible if I start there, if I meet people where they're at. And so if you can take anything away from today, I want you to know that regardless of how far along someone is, how long they've been doing it, how many people they've reached, how much they've sold, how big their business is, they still have insecurities. They still have things they're struggling with. And they're so much more like you than you'll ever realize. And all of those things can be true. And you can still be driven to do more and impact more and to help more people. Those things can coexist. And for many years, I really believed, and not because anybody told me this, but I thought if I'm depressed or if I'm anxious or if I'm sad, then that is the emotion I'm sitting in. And it's really hard to grow a business if you're in one of those places, by the way. But you can have things that coexist. You can be scared and do it scared. You can be anxious and you can show up anyway. You can continue to be there for people and solve problems that are both the small and may sometimes feel insignificant, but are an important first step and you can solve big, important problems. But both are necessary. I get it. I know how it feels. I know how isolating and alone and stressed and anxious and scared you can be. And I also know how important helping people and making a real impact can be to your life and your purpose and your focus. And so if me airing some of my dirty laundry helps you see that where you're at is so much more normal than you realize, like, I'm doing the right thing. And I will go happily show up and talk to you about social media. You can find out more about my Instagram profit playbook and how I monetize Instagram at bossproject.com/playbook. It's important. So I'm going to tell you to go there. Okay. I don't really know how to end something like this. So I'll just say that if you don't have a place to talk about these things, one, it may be important for you to get a licensed and qualified therapist, total advocate for your mental health and you having access to the things you need. But if you also want a community of people that acknowledge that all of these parts of you exist and that you intentionally want to grow your business, I would love to have you be a part of the co-op. You can be a part of our community. You can find out more at creativetemplateshop.com/membership. I'd love to see you inside. And I'm here for you. And I care about you. And if you want to talk about any of this today, you're welcome to send me a message. You can find my Instagram at Abigail Says, and I would love to chat.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our Creative Template Shop membership. With thousands of easy-to-customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics, we make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode. Send it to a friend who needs to hear it and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind-the-scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love this show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.